This song makes me feel as though I'm living in some kind of crazy post-apocalyptic world. One, perhaps, where robots are our masters. But in a good way, you know?
There's tons of blaring trumpets and trombones, tinkly cymbal, and occasional little guitar riffs. It might get a little repetitive, but I love the little horn trills and then the guitar echoing it. Maybe I'm just weird.
This song is like a really good kiss, like a broken jukebox kiss, like a kiss that sends you hurtling back past all the bittersweet moments of life, each of them sparking into dust.
That's a simulation of what an MP3 blog sounds like. It sounds, as you undoubtedly noticed yourself, a lot like radio, which is why I like to call these new kids on the internet block the MP3Js. Only on the web they don't talk, they just write about music that, as you read, you can listen to. It's an amazing yet simple concept.
What I'm doing is every day I post one or two MP3s and I write a bit of commentary about it.
Matthew Perpetua runs Fluxblog, probably the most popular MP3 blog on the internet. Matthew is often referred to as the granddaddy of the MP3Js, a moniker the 24-year-old art school graduate is quick to shake off every time I bring it up. Fluxblog, Matthew assures me, is of modest origins, a college with no campus radio station.
I didn't have a radio show, so being able to put songs up and have people hear them, it kind of filled that kind of void that I had. That I guess it's almost kind of like the efforts of a very frustrated person who never got to do college radio.
Like all great college DJs, Matthew has a quirky sense of humor, and he wears his excitement and enthusiasm for bands you've never heard of on his sleeve. Almost every MP3J I spoke with shares this aesthetic. But because it's the internet, there seems to be no limit to how diverse or obscure the music can get. The MP3J Elaine Chang of the MP3 blog Fruits of Chaos, for example, spins Asian music that seems to come from a subgenre of a subgenre of a subgenre.
I try to promote really obscure artists, really obscure even for like Japan or China, because that's sort of cool to see, you know, what's the indie scene over there opposed to the indie scene over here.
When you're posting the music you're talking about, the audience can have a better sense of what it is you're getting at and can begin to maybe hear the same things you hear and get some of the enjoyment that you're getting.
Sean Michaels, a Canadian who runs an MP3 blog called Said the Gramophone. Before Sean started MP3Jang, he wrote music reviews for a variety of music community websites, the kind of writing about music you find in magazines and newspapers, top 10 lists, reviews. But Sean found this experience frustrating because he felt it wasn't taking advantage of what the internet had to offer.
I was getting a little bit tired of the format limitations of sort of the 300 to 600 word reviews that I was writing, where you say, this music sounds like this, you'll like it if you like this, it's good for, you know, Sunday afternoons when you want acoustic guitar, buy it or don't buy it. And so I decided to start trying to do a format similar to Fluxblog, which I read every day, of posting a song and then writing about it. And it was wonderful because suddenly I was suddenly writing the kind of criticism that really engages with the art that it discusses. Okay. It's just so much more interesting.
It's unclear how the music business is going to react to this new use of their material. Well, unclear if you don't count the rising number of MP3 file traders who are being sued by the RIAA. The law, when it comes down to it, doesn't make a distinction between what the MP3 traders are doing and what the MP3 bloggers are doing. But, according to Matthew, it should.
I realize that what I'm doing is not legal, but I don't think it's like piracy. I mean, there's lots of sites like BitTorrent sites where you just go and you just download the whole record, and it's a totally impersonal thing. An MP3 blog is extremely personal. You know, it's more for the readers of the blog to find things, not just for people to come in off the internet looking for free things.
Sean agrees. The MP3J, he says, has a totally different philosophy than the file trader.
I think it's really important to try to expose people to new music, but not to replace the acquisition or the pursuit of that new music. And I think that MP3 bloggers have done a really good job of sort of keeping music up for just a temporary time to prevent Googlers from gathering every track from an album.
The MP3Js go out of their way to make sure this philosophy towards the music is clear. No MP3 blog has an archive or a library, and the MP3s are only available for download or streaming for a limited time, usually a range from a day to a week. And many MP3 blogs have prominently displayed disclaimers that promise to take down immediately any material for any rights holder who cries foul. But does any of this matter? Isn't file sharing for a limited time still file sharing? Or is MP3Jing an activity that deserves, as Matthew and Sean believe, fair use protection?
So I wanted to just demo this for you and get your thoughts on...
I demoed the MP3 blogs for Professor Terry Fisher, an expert on the fair use doctrine and digital rights, and one of the co-directors here at the Berkman Center.
So I'll give you off-the-cuff reactions.
Professor Fisher explained to me that in order to qualify for fair use protection, the courts need to be convinced that the infringing activity is something that's not doing any real harm to the copyright holder, or it's an activity that transforms the original work. On this second count, Fisher believes, the MP3J might actually have a case.
This is the kind of activity for which the fair use doctrine is really designed. Taking copyrighted material, using it in a fashion which poses modest, if any, threat to existing traditional markets, and most importantly, transforms it, criticizes it, and informs people of the merits of the work.
In 2000, Napster tried to convince the courts that it deserved fair use protection because it argued its users were merely sampling music, an activity it claimed not only did no real harm to the music industry, but in fact led to the purchase of CDs. Napster lost this argument. Professor Justin Hughes, an intellectual property scholar at the Cardozo Law School, believes that if the MP3J ever ends up in court, he or she will receive a similar verdict.
Under traditional fair use, it was accepted that you could quote extensively from a work in order to criticize it, to analyze it, to talk about it. What we've got different here is that they're including the whole work. It is a non-transformative copying of the work. It's not like a parody. It's not like a satire. So that's a frontier you got to cross very carefully, because if you simply say, if you include criticism and analysis, it's okay to distribute the whole work, then what you'll end up with is MP3 files that have 30 seconds of criticism tagged on to the end of the Madonna song.
Professor Hughes highlights the challenges for applying the fair use doctrine to the internet. For while the MP3Js are clearly transforming the experience of listening to music, they are not transforming the music itself. And while the MP3Js can argue that their posting of copyrighted material for limited times causes limited harm, the industry is fond of pointing out it only takes one song to seed a P2P network. But then, if all sharing of copyrighted material is illegal at all times, does that mean then that the fair use doctrine is something that does not apply to the internet?
That puts it a little melodramatically, but we're certainly in danger of having an internet with a constricted fair use doctrine, a fair use doctrine that excuses only the most traditional kind of transformative behavior, like parodies. It's conceivable, would be regrettable, but it's conceivable the doctrine would be shrunk to that scope.
In the end, Professor Fisher explains, it will be up to the courts to sort these things out.
The only way in which the fair use doctrine gets sorted out in the United States is through litigation, because the fair use doctrine has been shaped by the courts, and until 1976, shaped entirely by the courts, and Congress has since then encouraged the courts to continue modifying it on an ad hoc basis in response to specific pieces of litigation. So the only way to refine this doctrine is to test it.
So for the time being, MP3Jing remains an illegal activity. And if it's able to stay off the radar of organizations like the RIAA, a small-time illegal activity. but something happened last December on Matthew's blog that seems to say the MP3J's low profile will be short-lived.
I put up a song by the band LCD Sound System called Yeah. That song just blew up. Everybody loved it. It started being posted on internet message boards. Several blogs were linking to it. Almost everybody who heard it just got extremely enthusiastic about it. And that was the big, that was the point where it really just, really just
exploded. And today, still coasting on its MP3J-generated buzz, the song is making its way up the charts of hip college radio stations around the country, a feat many record companies spend thousands and thousands of dollars to achieve. But it's a lot more than a new hit song. In breaking Yeah, Matthew inadvertently broke the MP3 blog as well.
People, you know, discovered the site through that song. You know, people were excited about that song, and then I guess people, you know, looked around and they saw something that they go, oh, you know what, I can do that.
And the trend continues, with more and more MP3 blogs cropping up every week now, which means it's only a matter of time before the next big fight over what's fair use on the internet. This program was produced at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School. An earlier version appeared on the NPR program On the Media. Special thanks to Charlie Nesson, Terry Fisher, and Mary Bridges of the Berkman Center, and all the MP3Js that I spoke with. My name is Benjamin Walker. Thanks for listening.